The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend. Check this.
Welcome to DL Debate. Patrick and Daniel Gucci and DL Debate into special DL Debate. We are here from Father Tierney Park after Donegal's epic victory over Kerry. We've seen so much to divulge today, so much to look on, particularly the comeback of the man himself, Michael Murphy, and of course, Oisín Gallan as well. Many more talking points in the game. We're going to get into them shortly. I'm going to be joined here, as ever, by Brenda Kilcoyne. We're going to run our eyes across the game, the main talking points from it. We're also going to be joined by local man, Niall McCready, ex-Donegal star, Tigers cornerback that he was. Brian McNiff has had to go off. He had to head off early there, so we couldn't get Brian, but Cahill Keane is also going to join us, and we might be speaking to somebody from the Donegal management. That's all coming up on the show. Yesterday I was in the Donegal Park, and like the footballers, the hurlers had a brilliant back-to-back league victories with a huge one over Fermanagh, a different level to Fermanagh, Mickey McCann's men. Indeed, they were so far. It was 19-2 up at half-time, just checking. Minocha, 19-2, in complete control of that one, and ran out big winners, 235-9 points. Well done to the hurlers there in the Donald Park yesterday. And we've got, of course, Gilmore was man of the match, as ever. Has he off his means, top scorer as well, with 10 points. Jared Gilmore, and I have an interview up on HighlandRadio.com if you want to click in and look at that. Donegal have a break now, then they play Armagh in the next league encounter. But today it was all about Donegal, it was all about Division 1, and it was all about a rematch of the All-Ireland final, Donegal against Kerry. What type of Kerry team would come? They didn't come maybe with the weapons that we thought that they might, and certainly there was one glaring omission from the team, and that was David Clifford. So certainly not the strongest. Was it four or five players, Oisín was saying at the start there, of the team from the All-Ireland, like Donegal, who had 10, and maybe a bit more in reserve, Brendan Kilcoyne. So I was kind of saying at the start that, you know, really, if Kerry could put it up to us, they'd probably take more than this, because on paper, we should win the match easily. And at times it did look they would do that, but we, in the end, it came down to a bit of a nervy finish.
Certainly was a bit nervous there, Brendan, in the last few minutes from the point of view, from a Donegal point of view, and it shouldn't have been really, because they were so comfortable and so much the better team all day, in my opinion, looking at the game. But if you don't close a game out and you leave gap openings at the back, you can be punished. We saw Sean O'Shea, you know, he kicked, was it three or four two-pointers in the second half freeze, he's lethal. We need to be better in our tackling and defensive areas like that, because Shawnee O'Shea, they're fodder for Shawnee, so they are. And of course the late goal made it a bit nervy, but to be fair to Donegal, they still had some legs in them, Brendan, in the last couple of games. I think those four men running off the shoulder when we broke out with the ball in the last play of the game and ended up with Michael clipping it over the point, over the bar for the insurance point for a 4-point win. I never felt we were in trouble today, but it was a bit nervy as it came down the stretch.
Yeah, it was. And I suppose the fitness that we've seen from the McKenna Cup and from the general conditioning of Donegal, and really Jim McGuinness's team, has meant that, you know, we were going to hit the ground running early. By the sounds of Kerry, and particularly Jack O'Connor, who's just up there, you know, Kerry were a bit slow to come back, but still we've probably seen a bit of fight from that team in there. You were talking about like Sean O'Shea, when you have a player of his quality in there and you give 2 points opportunities, because of the difference now, Kerry kind of hung in there. And there's different stages in that game, and we're particularly in the second half of the two pointers from Langan at the start in the Finbar Roty score, where, you know, we looked like we were going to take complete control of the game. So you'd have to admire Kerry in many ways for hanging in there and you know, coming back from a deficit that was 114-8 then, and you know, Donegal with the breeze. So you were thinking, listen, game over. So that's not the case anymore, Ren. It's hard to put teams away, you know.
It is indeed. You know, we're 9 points clear after I think it was Finbar Roty kicked that score after Michael's 2 two-pointers, and 9 points clear. You were thinking we're going to run out very easy here. So we are, but thought we got a bit scraggy at the back, kind of some lazy tackling, giving them frees, giving them opportunities. Shawnee O'Shea will punish you 9 times out of 10 with them opportunities, so he will. And to be fair to Donegal, they kept plugging away, and you know, Shane Malone came in with the point, Darrell Boyle, you know, that goal in the first half was crucial. I thought Finbar and Pather really good in the first half too, getting forward, putting Donegal on the front foot. They have that pace coming out of defence with the ball, and they were getting scored. I think Finbar got 3 points, so he did, you know. And what a player he's turning out to be, like, you know, every day making vital contributions. He's probably the best tackler definitely on the Donegal team, but in Division 1 there aren't too many better tacklers out there. But he gets up the field, the legs to get up the field and to punish any space that's left up there then, and likewise with Padraig Mogan. But my concern, I suppose, from a Donegal point of view, is getting the man markers and discipline in the tackle, because I thought Goldrick was a bit over fussy today, so he wasn't some of the frees that he gave away. But you have to read the referee, Brendan, and you have to see what's happening out there and play accordingly. And I felt Donegal were a bit slack in that respect today.
Yeah, I want to get into you about the tackle in this, because there's something in the game that we noticed. Me and yourself were talking there just when the game ended. But Brendan, just taking it into the first half, you know, Jack O'Connor was up here, a lot of complaining about, say, Ulster teams and Ulster tactics. Now, that was a complete Ulster performance, the one that was given off about. I mean, Gary just literally sat and said, go ahead, have the ball. They played zonally. Was that a bit of a message for Jack O'Connor there to say, here, you know, I can play it anyway? Because it's certainly not the way we have seen Kerry line up, not the way they played All Ireland final. Now, I know there was a breeze against them and that, but it was a very negative style to the first half in terms of, you know, if you don't go in then with, you know, if you're going in then, you're really putting it all in the second half. And if Donegal were anyway in it, surely they should win the match. So it was a dangerous kind of tactic to play.
It was indeed, and you're right, they just sat in that D, protected the D, weren't prepared. They were, you know, they knew that Donegal, I don't think Donegal got a 2-point shot off in the first half, if I remember correctly, Brendan. And, you know, Kerry were happy to do that, to make them work, to work the ball inside. Donegal did really well to create the openings eventually when they did create them, so they did. But it was kind of strange to see Kerry coming up. But Kerry, listen, Brendan, Kerry can play football any way you want to play it. If you want to play it physical, rough, they'll go with you. If you want to play kickball, they'll go with you. They just have so many balls there are, so they haven't, you know, they were, while, you know, they're only four of the team to start in the All-Ireland today, so they had, so they're obviously trying to get guys up to the level that they feel the need to. I think Jack O'Connor will be a happy man going down the road. Okay, he'll not be disappointed. They lost by 4 points in the end, but the fact that they were able to stay in the game coming down the final stretch, despite not really playing to that level, you know, that'll be a pleasing aspect for Jack O'Connor.
Yeah, you could see, obviously, they weren't going to be pushed about. I think that's the thing with Kerry teams coming up here. They tend to think, because of the way, going back even to Rowan in the early noughties and that, the way they went after Kerry, there seems this thing with Kerry, they want to lay down a bit of law. And certainly, you know, Joe O'Connor was doing that the whole match. Mm-hmm. Maybe Brendan stood out more because there wasn't probably the history between players, but O'Connor, maybe that was going on a lot more in other matches, you know, but it's just because it seemed to be him all the time. But he was certainly one that was wanted to get into a battle around the middle.
Yeah, listen, I've been down Kerry, down Tralee at National League games, Brendan, and they are fairly tough. They don't mind.
Stand up, they love that bit of rough and tumble, so they do, and they'll bring it every day. There's this perception out there that Kerry are
pure football and there's none of that in them, but I've seen it down through the years, Brendan, there's plenty of, they're well able to look after themselves in the football field, and they'll bring it if they feel it'll bring them any advantage. And you're right, Joe O'Connor was a lot of carrying on there, particularly early on in the game. And to be fair, the Donegal lads that stood up to them, there's plenty of physicality about this Donegal team, and they won't be bullied about either.
Yeah, certainly. And Brent, just in the context of that first half, you know, particularly with the funny statement, it was very actually like the Dublin game, as it turned out, in terms of, you know, against the breeze, you know, us getting a late goal, the Darrell Boyle one where he creeped in around the back of the Kerry defence, having been off for an injury. It didn't seem like going on the half time that would matter that much, but yet that goal was very important at times in that second half. And I say, a lot of similarities for us playing against the breeze, get the goal, going on at half time thinking this should be straightforward, but a lot of spirit coming from Kerry and Dublin in those second halves.
Of course, and you're going to expect that from the top teams, Brendan. They're always going to come at you at some stage during the game. And to be fair to Donegal, I thought they came out of the blocks really, really well in the second half. We were confident at half time after, as you mentioned, the Darrell Boyle goal, but them two massive scores from Michael Langan. My God, the second one he kicked, it went up in the sky. It took, must have took 10 seconds to come down and get over the bar. What a score it was. And that lifted the crowd and gave Donegal that bit of breathing space, I should say, Brendan, you know, when they did go that 9 points up. And they were always going to win the game, he felt, from there on, even though there is this capability of other teams to get back into it. But Donegal really had enough done. It was about seeing the game out nearly at that stage. And I suppose it's all about lessons, so it is for this Donegal team. You know, there's a couple of young players in it, so they are a lot of experience there, but managing it and, again, getting back to getting the defensive, getting themselves right defensively. That would be concerning in the last couple of minutes. High ball into the square, ended up in the back of the net. Them things need to be defended better, and our tackling needs needs to be better, Brendan.
Yeah, tackling needs to be better. We've just been joined on the show by the man himself, Ciarán O'Keehan. He's a smiling Derry man because Derry had a huge victory last night over their friends and acquaintances in Tyrone, let's call them. But yeah, Ciarán, listen, very important victory for Derry. I know people talk early on in the league and that, but it was such a tough run they were on. I think it was 2-1s in 18, something in the round that. They were on a bit of a tough run, that group of players. And particularly, I suppose, after the defeat to Meath, you know, a lot of people straight away, I think, were questioning. I thought, new management, and let's give it a wee bit of time here. Do we get better? So, you know, performance very good, but the 1-2, both things vital yesterday evening.
You haven't won a game in 582 days. You will take any win you get. Any win you get. Yeah. And look, I suppose I didn't even view the Meath game last week the way a lot of people. I thought for the first 25 minutes Derry were excellent against Meath last week and got caught with two really bad two-pointers, got turned over for one, got a 3v3 breach for the other, and the game flipped on it. But up to that point, I thought they played pretty well, and I expected the throwing game to go right to the wire. Last night I knew Derry had a great chance, and probably should have won the game more. You know, yeah. Left goals behind them, had decent chances, and just probably overplayed a wee lack of confidence in certain situations. But just getting the monkey off their back, getting a win. I mean, Mayo won a penalty shootout in June 24 was the last game they won, so that's a long time.
Yeah. Hey, Garrett, just around the mindset going into that Meath game, I think, you know, if you look at obviously Meath beating Galway, Dublin, and Kerry last year, I think because of their, particularly the second half, the way Donegal, you know, overrun them and outplayed them, I think a lot of people were judging Meath on that, not on the three victories. And, you know, I was surprised at that there because, you know, it was kind of, it was a difficult game to kind of figure out because we weren't exactly sure how good Derry would be. Certainly the big men out in the middle seemed to be, and a big McBride come on as well, you know, he's played his football here in Donegal and Downings. He made a difference in that, and people were laying questioning. But that was Meath, that was Croke Park, that was day one. You know, this was back to, you know, Derry getting a bit of routine. They looked more like a more organised football team. They looked like they were trusting themselves a bit more last night.
Look, they just put a bit more confidence about them, a wee bit belief in themselves, and it's a stabilising sort of period for them. Like, Kieran Mina has come in, they've done a big body of work. They've a lot to sort out. You know, one of the big things being their own kickers. Like, their own kickers have been a disaster for 3 or 4 years, and like you can see even the game last night, you can slowly see signs already of that change and starting to get on top of that a wee bit. So those are the wee things you're looking for through the league, and if you can win games then along with it and win enough of them to get up, that's great. But I think they'll be more concerned with, you know, the 25 minutes, the near break, the Meath game had the two completely separate parts. The 25 minutes we did really well, what do we do well? The 30, 45 minutes we didn't do so well, what do we do badly? How do we fix it? And then last night, they probably put together more 70 minutes. I think you saw Paddy McGrugan coming back to fitness. His importance on Derry's kick out is enormous. He shows for so many shorts and digs them out of so many holes. Mm. You had Conor Glass, a massive game last night. You had Gareth McInnes, who, you know, missed a hole last year back and probably, you know, second to Conor Glass for man of the match. So Ethan Doherty finding his form again. So all those wee things you're looking for are, you know, wins, performances, all that, but it's the wee things within it that are already promising for Derry.
Yeah, we might get your thoughts on Tyrone later on in the show too, but just I want to pull you in now back to Father Tierney Park and coming in here today. And obviously, we were just saying before the game, Ciar, about the fact that if a weekend Kerry team kind of gave Donegal a game, they'd probably take more from it, maybe in ways. It was a strange game in terms of in patches. Donegal looked like they were in complete control, but yet It hung in, and there was that, you know, shaky finish, if you like, where Kerry came looking for a potential draw. So it was a strange game in many ways because it looked like, without Sean O'Shea in it, I can't imagine how this game would have looked. But his absolute brilliance, kind of, we see with the 2 points, just kept Kerry hanging in. And you never know now, Gareth, but with games, no one ever seems to be able to put anybody away. You know, if you stop, if you kind of hold back at all, give away a couple of sloppy frees or plays, there's one bounced off Ryan McHugh's chest, and then Keely McCaughan gave away that foul, which looked in not too bad of an area, but up steps, you know, Sean O'Shea. Next thing, the lead's getting chipped down, and you're thinking, right, here we are. And then the goal was a bit of a calamity as well, you know, in terms of there was three opportunities to clear it. So, you know, Kerry hung in there and almost could have sneaked a share.
They did hang in, and like anything, like Donegal, take any win over Kerry. but it almost feels in some ways like Kerry will take more out of it, take more home with them. I just asked Jack O'Connor about it. He was sort of coy as ever, like, Jack's not going to give too much away, but I felt that even Tomas Kennedy's role, like, we saw him under the high ball last week and we were sort of expecting a wee bit of that this week. He put it down to Kerry struggling in midfield, which was definitely part of it. They didn't pepper that at all. And actually, Kennedy spent most of the day coming to the corner, coming out round the wing, just pretty much pulling Brent McCall again out of the defensive shape and seeing what Donegal were kind of doing different then within that. And Donegal were obviously doing different things than they had been. And like, Sean O'Shea was tagged by Kieran McGonigal very tight all day. McGonigal went, you know, right in his face for the full 70 minutes. And O'Shea was brilliant. Like, I was watching his movement off the ball. Like, and his legs must be burning like the lactic acid from twisting and turning and pushing off and pushing a man the size of Kieran McGonigal off you while you're trying to do it. Like, he was... I think the layers of Sean O'Shea's performance you wouldn't even appreciate on TV today, because there was so much going on off the ball that he had to deal with as well. And it wasn't, I'm not saying off the ball as in there was nothing untoward, but it was just so physical off the ball that he had to work so hard for every yard of space that he got that it made his performance even better. So Kerry will take a lot home with him. There's five of their All-Ireland final team. You had 10 of Donegal's. Donegal deserved to win the game. Played pretty well in patches. A couple of Shane O'Donnell, very good. Darrell Whale, very good.
Langans too.
Finbar-Rorty, very good. The two pointers, which was, you know, two pointers inside 3 minutes the second half, and scored none in the final last year. So it was an obvious we want to go after them a wee bit as well. So I think it's a Donegal will take out of it as well. And again, the you know, as much as the personnel were changed for Kerry, the shape wasn't. They were very deep and very narrow in their defence, and, you know, picked up man to man. But Donegal again struggled to create goal chances through them. The goal came off a real, you know, off a Kerry kick out where they just completely lost and left Darrell Whelan behind.
That's right. That's
but other than that, Donegal didn't break them down for goals.
So. Yeah, he was off injured. He kind of sneaked in around the back. And listen, it was a cool move. Listen, I want to get asked, and there was a lot of incidents in that second half, particularly one where McGoldrick had the hand up for one of Brosnan's points, but he put it down by the time he kicked it. And there's wee things in there which is irking a few managers. We heard Kieran McGinney in the bleep machine last night. But we'll get to talk about that in a minute. We're going to be back after this break. Yes, welcome back to the DL Debate here from Father Tierney Park, where we are looking back on Donegal's victory over Kerry. That was Carol Kieran of the Irish News had joined us here, and Carol will be back in a few minutes' time. Of course, Jim McGuinness is up in the room now. He's going to be giving his answers to questions from the press that's all assembled here around him. That answers and that interviews will be going up on Highland Radio soon, and we will play it for you on the show whenever Jim gets done. We're looking out for someone maybe from the management team to join us here as well. But first up, previous to this, the Kerry manager Jack O'Connor was up and we got his thoughts. They're up on the site now.
Disappointed with the result, but in the circumstances, you know, halfway through the second half, it looked like we were going to get a bit of a beating, but I'd be very happy with the fact that we dug in and made a game with Nian. And coming down the last 10 minutes there, I thought we were actually the team that were in the ascendancy. And we'd half a sniff of it at the end, but overall, then I got with a better team. But I'd be happy with a lot of aspects of our display, particularly attitude and hunger. Well, I suppose the facts are we hit 5 of the 15 that lined out in the final last year. So on the surface of it, it might have appeared that way, but we didn't buy into that. We thought, you know, that the lads that we have are lads have been knocking around for a few years now. They have a bit of experience. But as I said to you, I'd just be very happy with the way that we dug in. That game could easily have gone ugly. I presume that's the way it looked to you, was it? And just a certain period, the 5 minutes before half-time and maybe the 10 minutes after half-time that killed us. From off the top of my head, Langan got two pointers after half-time. The goal was a bad goal for us to concede from our own kick-out. And we were thrown over the far side and left a man vacant on this side. So, yeah, we look back on stuff like that, but overall, Donegal were better than us, but we had a sniff in the end, that's all. So...
I enjoyed the game in many ways. Great venue, 9,000 people, nice day, good surface, good battle. I enjoyed the game. I didn't enjoy the result, but I enjoyed the game.
He didn't enjoy the result, but enjoyed the game. Jack O'Connor, in the middle of that press conference, he says, is that how you'd look to ye? I think he was looking for a response from somebody. It was quite an interesting way to throw it back to the press that are all gathered around. Jack, he's quite a boy, Bryn.
He's that Kerry cuteness.
He's very cute now, and he obviously, you know, Donaghy joining him as well, you know, no more than O'Neill last year, and the effect that had on him, you know, he's not looking to leave it as it is. And if you look at it now, I suppose Kennedy had a big game against Roscommon, very quiet today, in terms of maybe people being ready for him and that. But as he said there, a lot of these lads have been around, you know, they're experienced, you know, they were going to come in and put their hand up too. So I suppose you had that bite in the background, Ben, because everybody wants to start, everybody wants to be in the team. So maybe there was more in this side. You know, a lot of people talking about their best team, but in Kerry, as we've seen, all the cups have come down there. If there's one team has talent beneath the top 15, it's certainly them.
Oh, 100%, Brendan. And you know, you look at the six starting forwards they had today, you know, they're all, we know about them all. They've all played regular game time for Kerry over the last number of years. Apart from Tomás Kennedy, who came in today, and he came up against Brendan McCall, who you know was one of the best markers about the place, did a really good job, shut him out really. So he did, you know. Tony Brosnan, absolutely lethal inside forward, kicked 6 or 7 points today, and Sean O'Shea did the rest of scoring. They'd be disappointed, I suppose, you know, from a Kerry point of view, that they only had two scorers up to the last couple of minutes before the, I think it was Joe O'Connor that finished the goal, and the wing back Henrik got up for a score. So yeah, you know, prior to that, Tony Brosnan and Sean O'Shea were the only ones that contributed to the scoreboard for them, whereas Donegal had 11 scorers. Yeah. And it seems to be a trend with Donegal where they're able to get scorers all over the field. Yeah. So they are the likes of Pather and Finbar, Keelan McColgan, all these guys getting up the field. So Kerry, you know, as I said, going back to what they had starting, they had a fair good forward line starting, so they had Brendan, and I think that's why Jack, you could see Jack's reaction straight after the game. He wasn't overly disappointed. He kind of had a smile on his face as he went up to Jim to shake hands with Jim. So they'll take a lot out of this game, so they will, and they know, you know, to come up here, they knew it was going to be a difficult assignment against a Donegal team at home, maybe looking, edging for a bit of retribution for July, and certainly Donegal got that today, but I wouldn't be reading a whole pile into it for the long term either, you know.
Yeah, it was always going to be about that, Bryn. Tell me this, put David Clifford in there, is, you know, just think, we were on about one player, but what a player he is. If we put David Clifford, just him, if he had been playing that game now, of course, everything changes, but, you know, you're on about the 10 that was missing. I think if he was in here, that might have been enough to make that a bit more of a game, you know?
Yeah, and it shouldn't. Yeah, I get what you're saying, Brendan, but Donegal looks so dominant, so much the better team.
Maybe
for the whole 17 minutes.
We would have stepped
minutes.
It up.
I think
more
we would have been able
to. I think that capability
was within the team to step it up. And when you're out in the football field, and Brendan, you know yourself, you play to the circumstances that are ahead of you, and that's the way Donegal played the game today. Play to the circumstances that were ahead of them. They knew that if they came out strong early in the second half, get a couple of scores on the board, that they'd be in the driving seat coming down the stretch. And that's exactly what happened. Again, going back to that kind of indiscipline, giving away silly frees on the edge of the arc for two pointers, that's what hurt Donegal today.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about that. There was one in particular out in this left here, near our side here, and it was Keelan McColgan. So he had made the tackle, he had made the hit. Now, the Kerry man was stumbling. Now, I always think, Brendan, at that point, that last hit, if he goes down, is where the foul is. And if you just hold him up, you've potentially, at least he's on the back foot, you might rob him of the ball. But once you go on that last tackle, it's a free, you know. And listen, Keelan McColgan might say, who's Brendan Devaney to talk about tackling?
But, yeah, I'd have a good point.
but you know what I mean, man? You have this thing, and we've seen it a couple of times in the game, where you know there's a certain level you can go on, and it's either, if that first one's too harsh, yeah, of course it's a foul, but quite often it could be the repeated nature. So there's a time there, I always think, with good defenders, where they'll hit you, they'll rock you, but they'll know if they knock you again, it's a free. And as you're saying, because of the ability of Sean O'Shea, that kind of kept him ticking in.
100%, Brendan, and the referees kind of like to give frees to forwards in these situations where they feel they're under pressure, that the defender has done the right couple of things, his first couple of moves are right, but then they get carried away, stand over him, and then the referee says no free, and that happened on a number of occasions today. So it's just a little learning for the Donegal lads going into the next couple of rounds. So it is, Brendan, not a major issue. Keelan McColgan had a brilliant game on the front.
He had,
it was just that one example. There was more than, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's about getting them, making sure that as you go on through the year that you're giving way less and less of them, because most teams have a big hitter of freeze that will punish you accordingly.
Just in case you're listening, Keelan, you had actually a brilliant match. You're driving out of defence. I think obviously Keelan, like, he plays underneath Patrick Iskaghine, plays like a forward kind of role. He is like a half forwardy type player that ends up in our corner back positions. Brilliant driving out. It's just sometimes I think Kieran Moore had it a couple of times a day with tackles and then end up getting a yellow card. But Brent, loads more to talk about.
Neil McGee needs to take him under his wing for a bit.
Neil has shown what to do. Brent, more to talk about. We're going to talk about it after the news coming up right now. Yes, welcome back to Father Tierney Park, the press meeting with the Donegal manager is still going on here. Behind us, myself and Brendan Kilcoyne are here. Carol Kieran will be joining us in a wee while. We are just looking across all the action from today's fixture. Oisin Kelly here is producing this and keeping us right as ever. Brendan, we were into the second half there and we were looking at, you know, the brilliance of, you know, having Michael Murphy going. We've seen what he did, keeping it going against Armagh, and particularly Derry here, in terms of we needed him. We didn't think we needed him today, funny. And he got the tap over free when he came on. He got the last point. Oisin Gallen got a point. So, you know, big pluses in terms of that in the game, in terms of getting a bit of game time under the lads.
100%. And, you know, it's not a bad thing. You're able to bring on Michael Murphy, Oisin Gallen, Ryan McHugh, kind of coming down the stretch in a league game in the first week in February, and certainly give the crowd a lift here today. So did Brendan, and Michael looks in great shape out there. I didn't think he'd be back this early, but he's back and he looks fresh and he looks good out there. And, you know, anytime Michael Murphy's on the field for Donegal, he's going to give the team a lift. He just has that know-how, that experience, and he got them couple of scores when he come on. And Oisin Gallen, I felt, looked very sharp too. Of course, we've seen Rye play too throughout the McKenna Cup and last week, and he seems to be in a good place. So, you know, a lot of Donegal's key players seem to be in a good place at the moment, Brendan, playing well, playing with a lot of confidence, and that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, there's no worries that it's, are we going pretty well early? Does that ever go into your mind, Brendan?
It does come into my mind a lot.
I know. You just, when you look at it, like, sometimes when I see players breaking up the pitch late, I'm going to think about, listen, we keep that back for the championship. But yeah, you know, at the end there, when we were breaking up for Michael's last point, I mean, it's great to see and all that, but it's always one of them ones where, you know, kind of, it's hard now, Brendan. There's no such thing as kind of peaking for championship because there's so many big games. But certainly I think the message would be to get safe in the division and then hold back.
And you know, you're taking down the Dubs, you're taking about Kerry in the first two games, you're giving yourself a fairly good chance, so you are, you know.
Yeah. Delighted to see John Donegal manager, Jim McGuinness. He only has a few minutes here to join us because he's a wanted man. Everybody wants to get him on site. We have him here now in the hot seat for a minute. Yeah, but a Q&A here, Jim. Thanks very much for joining us. Back-to-back victories, Jim, after McKenna Cup victory. Great start for your team into the new season.
Aye, good, Brendan. Listen, a lot of positives today, and then obviously a lot of areas to work on as well. We did a really good job in the first half on their kick-out. Second half, they got 12 out of 12 away, you know, so they really upped the ante in that. And then just the wee discipline parts in the second half as well. Too many free kicks there. You know, Sean O'Shea's not going to miss them, but like Rory Began or any of these guys that are elite, they're just not going to miss, you know. So area to work on there as well. And then the goal was disappointing as well. You know, not enough communication, not enough people taking control. And we had a couple of times where we could have secured the ball and we didn't and stuff. So the time of year, that's just the bottom line, the time of year. There's a lot of things to work on, but if you take a step back and look at the overall performance and take them bits and pieces out, there's a lot of good positives there.
At the time, we really controlled the game, but surprising that element was in it at the end. Sean O'Shea, brilliant, I suppose, and as you said, Jim, we were probably architects of our own misfortune there in terms of how we were playing it. Just a wee word on carrying that first half and that deep zonal, you know, playing that kind of system, we come out in the second half, is that going to be talked about a bit? Do you think sometimes there's a bit of one-way traffic coming? If we edited that there, people kind of call us out. What do you think of the way Derry set up, Kerry set up in the game?
Aye, listen, I don't have an opinion, Brendan. There's enough debate going on about that. You can beat that drum, but
I will beat that drum for you.
I suppose the advantage of playing Ballyshannon, Letterkenny, all these, you know, venues is that you know the pitch, like, you know, and we knew that, you know, that's not the scoring zone, and the pitch will always play sort of right to left in the wind and stuff. And I think that played out with Michael's couple of twos at the beginning of the second half. He knew that, you know, that he could put it up there and the ball would travel. But Kerry were on to that as well. They knew that it was going to be a tricky enough wee win there to sort of kick into and to run into and stuff. And it was very, very compact. you know, and even though we were stretching it and putting players inside, you know, they never really moved from that zone. But I still thought that a lot of our decision making was really good, and we did, even though the spaces were narrower, if you like, we still found those pockets and got a lot of good shots off.
Yeah, certainly. And of course, listen, that's a tight group you have there, Jim, because I think from our time, remember, we used to say the team was announced, and before we get back to our various houses, somebody would have the team. But listen, you kept Michael Murphy and Ashley Gallen, obviously a complete secret, because so many people have been asking me, what's the story? I said, listen, nobody in own families knows, nobody talks. I said, but listen, from a Donegal perspective, Jim, to see the two guys there today, they come on the pitch, both scoring, like you look at it, I suppose, a game to come in. Michael come in last and really changed the games in many ways against Armand Derry. Wasn't that type of game today, but you could see his hunger when he went on, and the same with Oisín, to have the two guys back at this time of year now, Jim, in terms of the build up for their fitness to get ready, obviously, for championship. Brilliant to see them back.
I know, great Brendan, and listen, to be honest with you, I'm a bit like yourself, I don't know what's happening either with them. because you know, the S&C part of it is so important now, and they come back to us when they're ready, and that's the reality. And we knew that they were in the environment and they were doing bits and pieces, and there was a wee bit of integration here and a bit of integration there, but ultimately it'll come down to like a one or two or three sessions on the bounce where, you know, they're starting to get a bit of traction, and then it's a conversation with themselves, you know. And so the two of them had a couple of really good weeks there, and they felt strong, and they didn't feel that there was any risks involved. And we said, you know what, then if that is the case, we can see how the game goes. And it worked out that we were able to get them in, and hopefully now we can build that over the course of the next number of weeks as we play the next five games.
Yeah, and certainly, Jim, just looking at, no, you mentioned big kick-outs yourself, you know, having Kieran Gallagher back in the squad, you know, McGee, Langan, obviously, you know, Keelan in there, McFadden. Is that an area now, Jim, you think you're going to have to do a bit of an overload with height, because it is the winning and losing of many matches, that kick-out area?
Yeah, listen, there's a lot going on in kick-outs, to be honest with you. You know, a bit like Dublin, Kerry, when they were getting them away, what they were doing well is running out the middle and then deciding where they're going to go left or right, and they were trying to create an overload so they could leave players on the weak side of the zone. In areas, you know, there's a lot going on in the pod as well, you know, and you can see that with all the games. There's a lot of blocking going on. There's a lot of. It's difficult to get off the ground, you know. And you could have maybe four or five people in an area, and then so you've seen the Kerry guys coming, and one guy comes and fetches. But the way has been cleared, if you like. The same was happening last night in the games, and I think that's a trend that's in the game now. People are understanding that blocking out and blocking and stepping across guys, and you know, all of that is becoming very important to try and secure a primary possession on kickouts and stuff. So. I see
a couple
that.
Of great kicks from Mulroney as well. Kickouts were fantastic, you know, pinpoint as well. Great performance from him.
No, brilliant. But I do think that, you know, it's where the game's going. The ball's going more and more longer, you know, so people are getting more switched on to what happens at the breakdown, I think.
Yeah, and finally, two weeks, Jim, and the Mayo again. But like last year, you know, we want to get settled in the division and build towards championship, of course, because it's Ulster and because we're different from many of the teams in Division 1. So 2 weeks now, what happens in between in the lead-up to Mayo? Is there room for, you know, a certain type of training, or is it just like you've seven games in 9 weeks, you're balancing the league more than looking ahead to the championship?
No, it's very difficult to do anything within the week. You know, you're very limited in the first session, and you're limited in the second session as well, you know. So this gives you a chance now, not necessarily to be pushing buttons from a physical point of view, but maybe to take a step back and look at the whole picture, and then decide what sort of couple of areas that you want to go after in the next 2 weeks in terms of the tactical aspects. That time is just isn't there when there's a 1 week turnaround. So that's what we'll do between the two games. Mayo are going very, very well. They've a lot of big men themselves. You know, they've two midfielders, and one at 10, one at 12, and one at 14, and a very small, skillful player at 11. You know, that gives them great balance. Tommy Conroy in the corner, young
Ryan O'Donnell, and
a very, very young up and coming player in the other corner. So yeah, listen, there'll be a big challenge. They beat Dublin today, so yeah, we know what's coming, and we only have three home games, so we'll be trying to focus in on that. But at the same time, our goals before the season begun for the league was try and get as many through them safely as possible, try and develop depth within the squad and give young lads a chance. And you know, 4 points on the board now does allow more of that to happen. You know, you're looking for six to be safe, and we've got four after two games, so hopefully now we can do that, and we can let the rope out gently as we go now, and give fellas maybe, you know, a game or a full game, or you know, thereabouts, and give them an opportunity to put their hand up. You know, we've seen that with Kerry the day and young Kennedy and Brendan and all of that that going on them. You know, it's a good challenge, and you're going to learn more about them in that environment.
Yeah, perfect. Listen, I know you're wanted further afield, Jim. Thanks so much, Ben, for taking the time out to talk to us.
Cheers.
Good luck with the rest of the season. That's Donegal Bannister himself, Jim McGuinness, there. Thanks so much for stopping, because he has to shoot off there. He's heading up the road to your function. So great to get the chat to Jim there, because he obviously has to talk to the press meeting. And you know, you look at it, everything that's been put in, and I was talking to Jim there about obviously the working out your time schedule. He himself, like, you're, you know, there he is shooting off, like there is some, it is just a total, you know, way of life. You know, you look at top management now, man, it's just a job, that's it. You couldn't really cover anything else. You have to be completely dedicated to it, because the hours is put in, it wouldn't allow you to do anything else.
Absolutely, yeah. And like, listen, the boys, normally you only have a week go to game, so your recovery, your first session is recovery, your second game is probably doing a bit of tactical work on the opposition. At least this time they have a week off, so next weekend they'll be able to get a bit of work done, you would imagine. But yeah, great, you know, quick turnover, games coming at them is what you want, really. So it is, you know, and that's what you get at this time of year in Division 1, and nothing is easy. Every game is going to be a huge challenge.
Yeah, well, Brennical Coyne knows, because he's coached plenty of county teams. He's adopted Donegal man now, he is indeed. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break now. We're going to head back to Kieran Cannon shortly, and after the break we're going to finish off. We're going to just delve a wee bit more into the big talking points from the weekend. We're also going to be joined by Ciara O'Gane. We'll speak to you after the break. Yes, welcome back to Father Tierney Park for the special edition of the DL Debate, coming straight after Donegal's victory over Kerry. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Ciara Keehan of the Irish News here again, along with Brendan Kilcoyne. Just looking back at some of the talking points from last night. Actually, Pádraig Joyce was in here, the Galway manager, and he still had the look of a man that got away with one last night in terms of winning that match over Armagh again. It was a game that looked like Armagh, for all intents and purposes, was going to win it later on. Cahar's here to talk about a wee bit of the controversy of it. Just chatting to Pádraig, you know, the lad stayed in Cavan last night, and he came over to get a look at this match, Cahar. But Kieran McGinney, none too happy. And again, Cahar, we seem to be getting bogged down in some of the silliness of the rules. You know, a lot of people wanted to hand the ball back, gone, you know, drop the ball. The refs did talk about it, because I spoke to some of the refs, and some of them were saying, should we get rid of this? But it was held on to. And of course, talked then about accidental breaches, in particular, you know, the 2.3, there was things being in the new hooder, and we're kind of like, right, we're tripping ourselves up a wee bit. But certainly, he said Kieran McGinney was very annoyed last night about the breach that was pulled against them.
He was, and you could see to some extent why Joe McElroy had come over to the bench to say that he was hurt and was going to have to come off or needed treatment, and their bench happened to be on the far side of the 65. Yes, that he had to cross to get there to tell them that. So, and when he crossed it, the fourth official called a 3v3 breach on them, which is borderline funny to us, like, but it's probably not funny at the time to them.
You could tell me McGinney that, like most of it, but he's real no nonsense. Mm. Like, to him, if it doesn't add up, what are you doing? Bleep, bleep, bleep. You know what I mean? So, he, you know, listen, Kerry, again, we're just chatting about Jim McGuinness there and the time and what's going into it. Like, he's preparing the team all week for every eventuality. How do you prepare for something like that?
There's a sense element here. Like, the fourth official, the easy thing to do there for anybody who's played football is for the fourth official to say, just, you know, step back a yard.
Yeah.
Or does he explain to the Galway bench, even, like, this fella's injured? Yeah. It's a different scenario. But even within that, like you're saying about the rules and stuff, and it's like, you know, the 5 metre sort of buffer zone, as they talk about, was actually to sort of relax the real black and white of that rule too. And like, you know, it's like the 50 metre thing. No matter how little rope you give footballers, they will try and pull on it. They will try and find a way to manipulate. And so that is what's happened now with the 50-metre penalties, where players are holding on to it a wee second longer than they would have been, or players are charging into the man that's holding on to it, looking for the referee to give them the 50 metres. Or you, no matter what rule exists in Gaelic football, we're the most like dishonest people in the world when it comes to this. Like, footballers will just try and find a way to get whatever wee inch they can get out of the rule. And so no matter what rules exist, there are always going to be problems. There's been problems with the rules for 140 years.
Yeah. I was just saying, Brendan, that the Brosnan one there, the point in the second half where McGoldrick had his hand up for play on, the advantage, right? But he'd put it down before the shot. So I was just wondering what realms are we in terms of how would you read into that? Surely if he keeps his hand up, and then he shoots, it's gone. But he called it back, and Sean O'Shea put a 45 over.
Yeah, again, it's another one of these things. It's very much at the referee's discretion how long the advantage goes for, and we've seen different referees take different views on that. Some of them will keep it up. I saw his hand was up for 20 seconds at one stage today. I says, when is this advantage going to be over? So there is that, and, you know, maybe things like that need to be tightened up. But Kier's 100% of what he's saying. Lads, players out on the pitch will find a way around it, and team coaches will find a way around how you can bend these rules slightly to your favour, and that's only natural in sport.
Yeah. Are we leaving it a wee bit open then to the negativity with the new hooder though, Kerr? Because, you know, you're seeing teams then get a bit negative. If we had left it as it was the final play, you know, do you wonder sometimes about those small things, or maybe we should just get on with it, or what do you think?
Party, I honestly think it's the one big mistake they've made. I'm very much, like, I've been in favour of the rules and I'm in favour of getting on with it, but I think the hooder from day one was a mistake. I don't believe that any form of a hooder was needed. I think referees had gotten on top of it. You go back to the 2024 All-Ireland final, Armagh and Galway. Sean Hurston had it 6 minutes in the second half, which is a lot of time to give back. There was a 30-second stoppage in the 6 minutes for a sub. Both teams made a sub, and Sean Hurston just added the 30 seconds on and blew the whistle on 76-30. Mm. And it was like referees had gotten on top of this. They knew now how to deal. Because you go back to the 2011, Cluxton free, Joe McQuillan added 2 minutes, which was the norm or more than the norm. At that time, Stephen Cluxton took 1 minute and 10 seconds to kick the free, and then he blew the final whistle. Mm. So there was nothing added on beyond that. So, like, and that was when they didn't know how to cope with it. The hooder, it makes, no matter which, you know, people didn't like the hooder last year. They don't like the hooder this year. But all of a sudden, the solution for this year's problem is to go back to last year's problem. Yeah. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, it's a lesser. Well, I think it worked better last year. That would be my thought on it.
I think there's so much.
The last play was exciting.
You're right, but there's so much scope for controversy with this year's. Yeah. There will be, between the start of the group stage and the All-Ireland final last year, there were 14 championship games that were decided by less than a goal.
Yeah.
So you put those games into the melting pot of one-kick games. There's some of them, there's going to be a two-pointer kicked or a goal scored, and it's going to be a row over whether it was before the hooder, on the hooder, after the hooder. Like, it's just ripe for rows that there's no real need for it.
Yeah. Kerr, just looking at the two games then, what would you make then? Does it look like Donegal a wee bit stronger than Dublin and Kerry, particularly Kerry, obviously? At times they looked like they were a lot better than them, but both teams hung in the match a bit. Is it hard to kind of gauge, maybe versus the teams that you've seen, kind of, you know, where, particularly, I suppose, where Dublin and Kerry are going to be? We know, kind of, fair idea where Donegal, they're going well. Obviously, won them again a cup back-to-back games, but maybe the test wasn't, maybe to its limit. Me and Brendan were saying there, maybe if Kerry had a Clifford on today, Donegal would have stepped it up more. You know, maybe at times they kind of had controlled the game and that was enough, but, you know, always a dangerous game to play as well.
Look, I think you only learn so much from these games. You're looking for wee tactical things, like, as I mentioned earlier, Tomás Kennedy's role, and you're looking for wee things like that. The overall of it, who wins the points, who gets the, I think Kerry come home with as much as Donegal go home with today. It's only five of their All-Ireland starting team. Donegal are missing big players as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, both goalkeepers are changed from the All-Ireland final last year, and kickouts are such a massive part of the game that, what are you judging? What are you looking at? You know, how much does that change then when those both come back in? There's just so much variable between now and June that, in terms of, you know, we're looking at today thinking, well, how's it going to affect the summer? It's not really. It affects, you know, Kerry have had a look at Donegal press and a wee bit higher out and saying, right, well, that's what they might do in the summer. And Keelan McGonigal went very tight on Sean O'Shea, so if we meet them in the summer, that might happen. And Kerry are saying, well, you know, Finbar Rody's playing further out and he really hurt us here and he could hurt it. You know, It's those wee things that they're really coming away with, and not 2 points or not systems or not. You know, there's very little they learn on the major scale of it.
Yeah. I suppose from last night, though, we're thinking Derry Ulster final now. Fahers mentioned the summer. Straight away, we're going to get ahead ourselves in that one, eh?
That would be interesting. So, in a Derry Ulster final, without a doubt, yeah. Listen, Derry, I think Derry will, you'll see a lot more from Derry this year. I think there will be a big comeback from them. You know, they had a really, really tough year last year. Mean has gone in there, he's got Luke Barrett in there, and you know, I think he will galvanise them in there. They'll have felt the hurt of the last 18 months, you know, Kira West said it was 500 and something days without a win. So even to get that win last night would be a huge confidence booster for the team and for the Derry boys, and you know, they'll push on well from that. So they are, and they've, you know, really, really good chance of getting promotion. Whereas Tyrone had two back-to-back losses, now they're in trouble.
Anything could happen in Division 2 now, Kira. It's kind of like there's nobody that's going to be like definitely going to go and win it handy, you know.
Just watch Gavin beat in a goal against Meade there 4 minutes ago, and it was back to a point. Like, and look, there, it's so tight in Division 2. I think.
Is there questions over Tyrone now?
There are. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There are
a lot more questions than answers.
There are. Like, it was a funny one because, like, last year they were the first team, I think, in history to get relegated at Division 1 on 7 points, which was very unlucky. They reached the All Ireland semi-final, and yet there was and they won in Balbuffet, and yet there was still the sense that it never fired, it never really caught fire for them at all.
Yeah.
And there was so much more in the tank, and they just
it's strange that even from the fans, the support there, say versus a club championship, it's again a funny time for, particularly after the under 8 success that they've had. You would think they're ready for, you know, an amazing team to come through, and yet they seem to have a lot of talent without maybe, you know, people talk about the jigsaw, about maybe certainly you've got big men, rugged defenders, you've got that mix of, they don't seem to have that, maybe the right men in the right areas. They've got a lot of talent.
Aye, they just they've struggled in certain areas. They've even though the calibre of forward that they have, they've struggled up front, and we go back again, we keep going back, ultimately they're the bench. So Kerry were the All-Ireland semi-final last year, and Kerry defended in the same way as they defended today. They just stay 5 yards goal side of you all the time, they pick you up man to man, and it means that they're always narrow and compact all the time, and Tyrone just had no physical profile to break that down, and so Kerry just pushed them at arm's length all day, and were comfortable doing it. And then what we've seen probably is Malachy Rohr looking for something a wee bit different then in his attack, in terms of Ethan Jordan coming in as a 2-point kicker, and Lorcan McGarty come on. Lorcan McGarty's a bigger, stronger, well, not stronger as such, he's quite lean, but he's a big tall forward, and he can kick, and so they're looking for something a wee bit different. They've probably haven't been as strong in the middle of the field as they had been in 21, and you know, Michael McKernan was a huge loss in the championship last summer. Michael McKernan has been for me their best player full stop over the last 2 or 3 years, and him missing was massive. So he's fit again, and they're not a million miles off, but
no,
there's a pack of about 8-9 teams behind Kerry here,
yes,
separated by a 2-pointer or a goal. Tyrone are in that pack, but at the minute they're probably closer to the bottom of it than the top of it.
Yeah, one of those teams, Brendan, is Mayo. They beat Dublin 118-29 there. Impressive there. Andy Ball's kicking off, and you know, Paddy Tallien obviously stung by his time in Derry. He was offered 8 months, and he was offered 3 years, and he ended up with 8 months. So that was a tough time for Paddy, but certainly, you know, I know it's early days and that, but that's a very impressive victory over Dublin.
Yeah, and that, you know, that game coming up in a couple of weeks now between Donegal and Mayo and O'Donnell Park and Letterkenny is going to be a big one. Andy seems to have galvanised the Mayo guys. They have a lot of quality. He's introduced a lot of good young players. Ryan O'Donoghue's playing on the 40. He's certainly, Matty Ruan, I think, is out for another while, so he's a big loss. They need him around the middle of the park, but I think they'll be thereabouts come the summer too, as they always are, kind of thing. You know, Mayo keep churning out. One of these counties that keep churning out good young talent. They've struggled to get over the line, but I think Andy is going to do a really good job with them there when he gets the full squad back together.
Yeah, he will indeed. Kara, just last couple of minutes, Donegal then, your takeaway from the day, just about the main man coming back in terms of Gallen and Murphy, and just, you've seen spirit, you've seen good passes as a play early on in the league. So listen, all in all, this, Kerry, I suppose, as Jack O'Connor said, you know, those players just below are still top quality players. They're in their fighting position. So, you know, it was a bit of fight from Kerry, but all in all, Donegal deserving.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mayo there, and you're looking at wee things, and like, you're still talking about Donegal and whatever bit of a kicking game they might use, and they didn't use one at all today.
It was just on the kick. There was two kicks in the second half. Donegal cut one out, then when Donegal kicked it, went over the line. And
put
it was
over
just like,
the sideline. Yeah, yeah.
Don't kick it, coaches would be like, don't kick the ball.
And we're laughing, but like that did strike me as like that's maybe the reason why they don't kick it that much. Like and like there's no doubt like there's a long standing tactical trend in Donegal club football of not kicking it, and the county team not kicking it. And I remember watching an All-Ireland quarter final against Dublin where they put Murphy at full forward. Donegal were just falling off a wee bit around 2015, and they thought we'll pepper him that day and we'll kick it, and geez, they kicked the ball over his head, they kicked it to his feet, they kicked it to everywhere except his hands. Like, and like there is a bit of that. I'm not saying Donegal can't kick the ball, but you play to your strengths, and Donegal are so strong at the running game and have so much belief in the running game, but it just feels like you just need the threat of the other thing.
I agree. I don't think we up front we're not looking for it.
No.
You know, so it can't be kicked out. Michael was only about making a run because he was so keen to get on the ball when he was from an old fashioned football
like
position.
You could see there was one in particular here that struck me in the second half. In the first half playing down this way, and Donegal had won the ball on the break, and Shane Malone was 1v1 and he was in the sort of left hand corner, but the whole right side of the field to show for a kick pass, and the head was up, and he never, like, and it's not an instinctive thing to just show for it. He was playing in the corner to come round on the second ball, and he never showed across that line, and that kick pass was, and it's just that instinctive kind of thinking. If you want to bring a kicking part to your game, you need that instinctive run, and that is where Kerry differ. Like, they have the instinctive, no matter what way the game changed over the last 14 or 15 years, they never lost that instinctive attack and run, and that instinctive thing to lift your head and look for that attack and run. And now that the game has changed again, Kerry aren't kicking anywhere near as much as people think they're kicking, and them winning the All-Ireland last year had very little to do with their kicking game, but it's a threat of them having it, that if you leave it exposed, they will do it. And so you can't leave it exposed, so you have to protect against that, and then it creates space for other players. And if you, like so many of the Ulster teams, not just Donegal, so many of the Ulster teams, Derry we're seeing at the minute, Tyrone, Armagh, they don't carry the threat of kicking the ball, and so teams are able to defend against them in a different way.
You just get set, and just you can just kind of strangle the game a bit more. I think we're down to time up here almost, lads. Listen, again, Carrickie and Irish News, thanks so much. Brendan, our own Brendan O'Coin here. Of course, Jim McGuinness joined us there as well, and it was great to wrap up the show here. Oisin Kelly produced us, and Kieran Cannon has been keeping us right in studio. Interviews are up on highlandradio.com. I'll speak to you all next week, and Cahir will be staying in touch as the season goes on, no doubt.
See you in the Ulster final.
Derry Abou. See you in the Ulster final. Top man, that's a good way to finish it. Thanks very much. I say we'll speak to you all next week.